So tonight we'll explore the second foundation, which is Vedana, which is a Pali word. And we mostly refer to that as feeling tones. So before we talk about that, though, I wanted to just step back a little bit and remember, why are we looking at this? Why is this important for us to study? So the Buddha gave these teachings for the purpose of freeing the mind of suffering. And you may remember from our class on the Four Noble Truths how the Buddha taught about suffering and its causes, that there can be an end to our suffering, and that there's a path for doing that, the Noble Eightfold Path. And that teaching showed us how our suffering or our distress, our unsatisfactoriness, our lack of contentment comes from the grasping or pushing away that we engage in out of habit. We grasp because we believe things that bring us pleasure are solid and enduring, and we want to hold on to them. And we push things away so that we can avoid or ignore unpleasant or painful things. But this is a misunderstanding of how everything really works. We cannot make pleasant things last in a permanent way, and we cannot escape unpleasant experiences. They are part of this human life. Much as we repeatedly try, we're never going to get everything all lined up perfectly just to be at this point where we've somehow made it and we'll be happy and peaceful from here on out. That is really just a fantasy. Yet we spend a lot of time and a lot of our life energy on troubleshooting, on negotiating, maneuvering, trying to scheme to make these pleasant experiences last and to avoid unpleasant experiences. The more we understand about the workings of our minds, the more awareness we'll have to free ourselves from these conditioned experiences that lead to suffering. So this is why we study something like the second foundation of mindfulness, feeling tones, because it is more information for us to understand how our conditioned minds create thoughts and stories, which then generate actions which can lead to further suffering. So the Buddha taught us to develop steady inquiry on these four foundations. So it's not really about memorizing or fully intellectually understanding all the details of the four foundations of mindfulness, but it's about applying what he taught by practicing on or with these four foundations. And we do that so that we learn from our moment-to-moment experience. And you may understand at this point that the Buddha kept driving us to our present moment experience. He was telling us to let go of everything in the past, all the memories we have of the past, or all the thinking, planning, fantasizing about the future. None of those things are real. The only thing that's real is what's here in the present moment. So he was really trying to get us through the four foundations of mindfulness to use our present moment experience and to practice on these four foundations. So Carol talked last week about the body and the various ways to practice using the body as a foundation for that steady inquiry. And tonight we'll talk about Vedana, which is not an easy word to translate into English. There isn't a single word that translates for it. So we most often talk about it as feeling tones. So the instruction is to use the feeling tones as a foundation for mindfulness and steady inquiry. So this second foundation of mindfulness gets us to zero in on the experience of knowing or registering the specific quality of pleasant, unpleasant, or neither pleasant or unpleasant that arises with the contact of each moment's experience. So even before our minds begin to chase after or grasp at what's pleasant or push away or avoid what's unpleasant, there's a knowing or a sensing that registers one of these three feeling tones. And there's only the three, pleasant, unpleasant, and neither pleasant nor unpleasant. That third one, neither pleasant or unpleasant, is sometimes referred to as kind of neutral. It's like there isn't much there either on the pleasant side or on the unpleasant side. But the Buddha used that term very specifically, that phrase. He didn't say neutral. He said neither pleasant nor unpleasant, I will use the word neutral every once in a while because it's sometimes easier to just refer to it that way. But that's his exact wording, was neither pleasant nor unpleasant. So this concept of knowing feeling tones can be a little bit subtle at first. So if this is the first time you're hearing about this, don't worry if you are feeling a little bit like, I'm not sure I get it, or I don't know how to identify that. It's okay. Just listen and take what you can out of this. And you'll, if you keep studying, you're going to hear this kind of teaching again on Vedana. And so you'll pick up more as you go along and as you practice. So how is it that we know and can recognize Vedana? It arises in both physical and mental phenomena. So a sensation in the body or a sound that we hear, we actually feel or sense this registering of pleasant, unpleasant, or neither pleasant or unpleasant. A thought or emotion arises, and we, again, immediately we register one of those three feeling tones. In our non-meditative experience, we kind of just assume things are how we think about them, right? So that honking car noise is unpleasant, that ice cream is pleasant. But you've probably had that experience in life where you have something come up, you're annoyed or frustrated by something that's going on, and there's somebody that's with you that's having kind of on the surface of things the same experience you're having, but they're not at all annoyed with it. Or maybe you're sharing some delicious candy with some friend of yours, and you're enjoying this candy, and you're kind of thinking to yourself, like, this might be the best candy I've ever had. And you ask your friend about it, and your friend is kind of like, meh. It's nothing special. So there's nothing inherently pleasant or unpleasant. It's really our minds, and in terms of tonight's discussion, it's the mind's feeling tone that arises that gives us this sense of pleasant or unpleasant. And then what follows from the feeling tone, of course, is we go into this whole work of the mind that begins to build up a story based on that sense. Right? We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But let's see if we can try to understand Vedana a little bit. So if you just do something like sort of poke at your arm like this, you know, maybe you're tapping at your arm a little bit, you're going to have a sensation of poking your arm. And depending on how you're doing it, you'll have also a feeling tone there. So, you know, if you're tapping a little bit and it kind of feels good because your muscle's a little sore and that feels kind of good, you're going to think pleasant. And if it's like a really sore area of your arm, you're going to think, oh, unpleasant. That's unpleasant. I don't like that poking. Or if there's nothing really there for you, it's kind of that neutral place, that neither pleasant nor unpleasant. In our regular experience, the poke is going to come to us just as ouch, that hurts, or oh, that feels kind of soothing, or we can practically ignore it because it's not really registering for us. We're flooded with so many sensations in our normal daily activities that we don't see the sort of slow motion view, the frame by frame that we get when we're in a meditative state or using mindfulness. So we don't really notice Vedana on an everyday basis as we go about our lives. It's something we really have to kind of tease apart as we do meditation practice. And then you might be able to begin to see it a little bit better in your day-to-day life. So when we're using meditation, we're slowing the mind down, we're letting the mind settle, we're taking away various stimulation by being in a quiet place, we might close our eyes, we're sitting still, and we use that sort of gentle curiosity to look really carefully at our experience. So with mindfulness, if I'm poking my arm, I can see there's both that physical sensation, plus there's a knowing or a recognition that comes from the mind's conditioning, and this is Vedana. And as with everything we apply our mindfulness to, as we practice this, we see how these feeling tones arise and pass. They are impermanent. And if we can identify them as they arise and hold them in the spacious awareness of meditation, we don't get hooked by them. We just observe what comes up and we are aware of it. So the Buddha instructed us to recognize this is a pleasant feeling tone. or this is an unpleasant feeling tone. We get to practice in the moment with experience to just notice that. So we want to use our meditation practice and our mindfulness to pinpoint the feeling tone and also see it as impermanent. If I wait a few minutes, this is going to change, as everything does. Outside of meditation, what happens is we're moving along in life and the feeling tone comes up. And if it's, this is pleasant, in a split second, the mind latches onto that. And so that's where it can lead to some trouble. So insight teacher Joseph Goldstein says, the feeling tone of experience is so vitally important because it conditions our various reactions in the mind and actions in the world. So let's look at sort of a typical experience that could come up for us. Let's imagine we're going to go get a cup of coffee, you know, like maybe during COVID, you haven't gone out to a cafe much to get coffee, but you've decided I'm going to go get a cup of coffee in a place where I can sit outdoors. And so you go and you order your coffee and you go to find a seat. So you scan the available seat options that are there and you select one and you sit down. That experience of sitting down in that seat gives you a physical contact so that you know that you're sitting in the chair. So maybe you feel your thighs against the seat of the chair. You feel your arms on the arm of the chair. But you also have a feeling tone right away. So let's just say the pleasant feeling tone comes up. And your mind then starts to construct an experience right then and there. And it doesn't happen consciously usually for us. It's just, it might go something along these lines, like, oh, this is a really nice seat. I really like this seat. It's kind of nice sitting here in the sun. Yeah, it looks good. I'm kind of got good space from other people. I could be really comfortable here. I think I could settle in for a little while. And yeah, this is great. I'm all set. Now, again, that doesn't necessarily happen consciously, but that's happening for you as you're like, this is really pleasant. I'm here with my coffee in this really comfortable seat. Now, if you suddenly realize, oh, I forgot to put sugar in my coffee. Oh, gosh, I have to go back up to the counter and get some sugar. You get up, you go get sugar. You know, it's the thing where you got to keep a little distance from people. So maybe it takes you a couple of minutes to get that sugar. You turn around to go back to your seat and someone else is sitting in that seat. So you're surprised, you're kind of upset. You look at the seat a little puzzled, like, that's my seat. You think to yourself, oh, that person's so inconsiderate, they stole my seat. And then you're kind of back on your heels, not sure what to do, you're a little upset, there's no other really good seat to sit in. So then you sort of decide, well, I guess I'll just have to drink my coffee in my car. And then suddenly you're in a bad mood. So this is how the mind can just carry on from what in the very beginning was just that you sat in a chair and had that sense of the pleasant feeling tone. And then you built the story that you held on to because you wanted that really nice experience there to last. So it happens when we get that whole cascade of conditioned habitual patterns in our mind where we attach to that pleasant experience. And also we view it as mine, as somehow personal. That's my seat. You know, when we look at it now, we can almost smile at the idea that we would think that's my seat. But we do when we're in that situation. The grasping at the pleasant and the attachment to that story creates our suffering. So again, Joseph Goldstein's quote, the feeling tone of experience is so vitally important because it conditions our various reactions in the mind and actions in the world. So when we're not mindful, pleasant feelings habitually condition desire and clinging, and unpleasant feelings habitually condition dislike and aversion, and the neutral feelings condition delusion, kind of not really knowing what's going on. Yet when we're mindful, these very same feeling tones become the vehicle of our freedom. So we want to learn to identify the feeling tone and hold it in a lot of spaciousness so that we don't get hooked into building up the story about getting more of the pleasant or getting away from the unpleasant. Using mindfulness to hold in spacious awareness also allows us to understand it is transitory. It is impermanent. It won't last. So keeping in mind impermanence is really important here. Much of the time we're trying to hold permanent elements or experiences that move and change. They slip and slide. They morph before we can even get them nailed down, which just brings us more suffering. So seeing the feeling tones as impermanent is important so that we can interrupt that usual conditioning to want to grasp at the pleasant, push away the unpleasant, or ignore what's boring. So let's take a couple of minutes and just do a little bit of practice with this. So you can just sit comfortably right where you are. You don't have to do anything special, but try to sit up straight a little bit and with your feet on the floor. And this will just be like 5 minutes. So just turn your attention inside your body again. You can close your eyes if that's comfortable, or just lower your gaze. And just finding your breath, noticing where you're feeling your breath moving in and out of the body. Just kind of tuning back into that breath for a minute. And then as you're ready, allowing your attention to just expand out through your whole body. And just noticing for yourself if you notice any body sensations that might be prominent. So that could be that you feel something like an itch or a tingling somewhere. Or maybe there's a tightness or tension that gets your attention. You might notice something like a little bit of a headache or some other kind of pain in the body. So allowing your attention to notice any body sensations that could be prominent. If there's nothing there that's very prominent, you can always just continue to pay attention to the breath. That the breath is one of the sensations of the body. There's air moving in and out of the body and muscles are expanding and contracting. And just for another minute or a minute and a half, just see if whatever's arising and passing for you, if you can catch that sense of, oh, that's an unpleasant feeling, or this is a pleasant feeling. You don't have to work too hard to notice it. Just see if it's available to you. Whether that's in body sensations, perhaps there's a sound that might arise and pass. Or even the breath, noticing what has that feeling tone of pleasant or unpleasant, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. So I have a little bit more to say on this topic, but before I do, just registering for yourself anything you noticed in that short practice. Might be something related to feeling tones, or maybe it was something else altogether that you noticed. But just kind of make note of that for yourself, because we'll come back to that a little bit later in the question and answer portion. But now just kind of make a note to self about it. I want to say a little bit more about impermanence because that was such a key part of the Buddha's teachings. He taught us to look many ways to look deeply and see that all experiences are impermanent. They are not lasting, they are not enduring, but rather they ebb and flow like everything in the universe. They may last for a time, but they will change and pass away because that is the nature of reality. So when the Buddha was referring to the changing nature of feelings, he referred to them like the winds in the sky. And I want to read you a passage from his teaching on this. Just as many diverse winds blow back and forth across the sky, easterly winds and westerly winds, northerly winds and southerly winds, dusty winds and dustless winds, sometimes cold, sometimes hot, those that are strong and others mild, winds of many kinds that blow. So in this very body here, various kinds of feelings arise, pleasant ones and painful ones, and those neither painful nor pleasant. So he's reminding us that just like the winds, we'll register many kinds of pleasant or unpleasant, or neither pleasant or unpleasant feelings. And we know from our own experience that the winds do pass. Whatever arises passes away, maybe in an hour, maybe after a few days, but it does pass. And the same is true with our feelings. So if we can begin to understand that whatever is arising in our knowing, whether that's body sensations, feeling tones, or even thoughts or emotions, also passes away, we can begin to hold all of this experience in a more spacious awareness, learning to allow the Vedana to come and go within a larger, more expansive mind. And this allows us to have a more peaceful mind, one that can see more clearly all of what is happening. We can enjoy the pleasant while it's here and graciously let it go when it passes. And we don't get all tied up in the reactivity and drama when the unpleasant arrives because we know it's only here temporarily. By not having such a tight, constricted mind full of reactivity, we give the mind space for something deeper to emerge and develop. The Buddha talked about how we all have the capacity to become enlightened. It's already within us. The fruit of more and more meditation practice is that we learn to rest in this more expanded mind and give space for these qualities to emerge. And these are qualities like the Brahmaviharas that we'll learn about later in this class. Compassion, love, equanimity, joy, all these beautiful qualities. We don't have to go out and get them, they're already within us. So it's an uncovering and an emerging that we have to give space to. So this is a part of ending our suffering. If we can let go of these conditioned habits and actions, something more peaceful and joyful can emerge from within us. So this is really a great time, I think, to become more aware of Vedana and how it sets off a chain reaction for us. We get to practice on this foundation of feeling tones to see the starting point of our minds taking off toward craving or toward aversion. Especially with all that's going on right now in the world, all the strong feelings that we are all having, it's very easy for us to be wound up in our reactivity. So working with this second foundation of mindfulness gives us an opportunity to practice seeing how this all starts. And working to hold the feeling tones in awareness and not jump right into our reactivity. So we can notice on, say, hearing the latest news, this is an unpleasant feeling tone. And keeping that in our mindfulness, we can explore in the current moment experience what's happening. With an unpleasant feeling tone, what shows up for me? What other sensations are present? Maybe a tight stomach or a clenched jaw. What other thoughts are arising? Anger, shock, fear. And what is skillful action right now? Just that practice itself keeps us from immediately launching into the reactivity, and it breaks the chain reaction of our conditioning. So this is how we can use practicing with Vedana to help create freedom from suffering. So thank you for your kind attention. And let's just sit for one more minute just to kind of let some of that settle in before we move into some talking and sharing together. So just allowing for a moment of silence, feeling your breath, letting the words settle.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.